to my introduction talk about the usability UX evaluation methods. I'm a little bit ashamed standing here on a graphics conference, and there's only one slide with graphics, all the others are text. So how did I end up here? And it's basically two things. On the one hand, I like to take photos using Darktable and other open source software to edit them. And on the other hand, to earn some money, I'm working as a UX coach, UX designer, and I thought maybe we can bring these two things together. And to give you a little bit, a brief introduction into what is UX, what is usability actually, if we want to design software and want to have a good user experience, a good usability, so what is it all about, and give a small, very small overview about basically two evaluation methods, heuristic evaluation, usability testing, and get you an idea what this is and how you can maybe apply it in your own software project. So usability, user experience first, nothing that I came up with. There's an ISO definition, ISO standard that defines this. And usability there is defined as the extent to which a product, a system, or a service, so any software we are using here probably, falls under that category, is can be used by specific users to achieve specific goals with effectiveness, efficiency, and satisfaction in a specific context of use. And then we have the user experience that is a little bit wider. The definition is also much longer. I just picked one sentence out of the ISO standard describing the person's perceptions and responses better before and after and also during using of such a thing. So if we look a little bit more closely on usability, we basically have three parts that are important for us. And one is the specific user. So I think yesterday, the day before, somebody was on stage and said, yeah, I want to have my application be used or usable by basically everybody. And this is something I'm always a little bit worried if I hear it, saying, okay, if it's everybody, so it's your grandmother, it's a PhD student, it's like a novice student, novice user, or maybe also very experienced user. That are very different user groups, bringing lots of different backgrounds with themselves, having maybe different goals. And that is the second one. So what is the goal? Is it editing an image? Is it increasing contrast? Think about something that your software should do that is ideally measurable and very specific if you think about usability and improving it. And then the context of use, and context is a broad concept. So there might be a social context, what people bring with them. There might be a physical context or a cultural context. Like, could be the device you think about. Is it mobile ready? Is it on a tablet? Is it on a desktop? But also, am I working on my own? Am I focused? Am I working with other people in a noise environment maybe? How is it about lightning, stuff like that? So you should get clarity on this first before you start thinking further on how to improve it, actually. And if you see that you have different user groups or that you have different goals, then the usability is specific to each of it. So you also have to think about then testing or evaluating the different parts separately, normally. The other three important parts here, the effectiveness, which is basically, can I reach the goal in the software? That's the question you ask yourself, yeah? Am I able to reach the goal? Then the efficiency, normally asked by how many resources do I have to spend? Often that's time, but could also be other resources that people need to spend to reach a goal. And then the satisfaction, you normally measure that by using surveys, like the standard usability scale or other surveys, to see like how satisfied users are. And as I said, the user experience is a little bit bigger, so it's not only about satisfaction, but basically about all emotions users can have, and not only during usage, but also before and after. So one example you probably all know, emotions before usage, unboxing videos on YouTube, yeah? I mean, you got the box, you haven't used it yet. Still, you have so much of excitement and emotions that you want to share it with the whole world and do unboxing live on YouTube. One example. So this is what we are looking at. And now, obviously, I mean, we have some clarity on what we want to focus on, but how to reach it. And that's the next one also, in an ISO definition, nothing by myself. It's called human-centered design. There's a human-centered design process. And today, we will only focus on the last step, because the first step is basically thinking how to plan it, then understand and specify the context of use, which is like the context, but also user and their goals. If you want to do it by the book, specify your requirements. There's also, you probably have heard of the term of design thinking. There they do it a little bit more loosely. And then you design the software, maybe first a prototype and then the real software. And everything you do, it's an iterative process. So you can iterate. This is the dashed lines indicating here. You should evaluate it and see, does it fit? Can I reach the goals that I have? Do I meet the requirements or not? And either you are finished, or you just go in the next iteration and start over to improve it. So evaluation, that's what I would like to talk about today a little bit. And the idea is to do it iteratively, as I said, start early. This is more or less famous quote from an American architect who once apparently said, on the drawing board, I can use the eraser. On the construction site, I have to use a sledgehammer. And obviously, the sledgehammer is much more in size, but also in money, much more expensive than the eraser. So it's faster and cheaper if you start early on with evaluating. Yeah, there are lots of variables in here, obviously. The human brain, very complex, so it's really, you have to test you. It's hard to foresee. There are some gestalt laws, some design laws that you can follow, obviously. I mean, something like a white font on a white background, hard to read. But otherwise, I mean, if it gets more complex with software, easiest really is to evaluate it, and it's hard to foresee it. So, what evaluation methods do we have? We basically have two big groups, testing and inspection. We also can use inquiry, like you normally do in the beginning, user research, that also helps you to get a feedback. But testing, this is where we use a user, like grab a user and let them test it. Could be a usability test, could be a A-B test, where you have two different versions and you see which one performs better. And then we have the inspection. There you don't need a user, but you need an expert. And they expect it by either using a heuristic evaluation or, for example, a cognitive walkthrough, where they kind of act as a user and walk through the software. And yeah, the usability test and the heuristic evaluation is the one I would like to cover right now. What is a heuristic evaluation? I quoted Jacob Neeson on their website. They're quite famous in the area of UX and usability. And they say, well, heuristic evaluation that involves having a small set of evaluators, experts, examining the interface and judge its compliance with recognized usability principles. And the recognized usability principles are so-called heuristics. You could also say like a rules of thumb, what to do and what not to do. Normally, you use like 3 to 5 experts, and you do it on your own, first of all. They need some expertise in the domain of the software, because if I don't understand the software as an expert, it's very hard to judge if it's okay or not okay, if I don't know what the software is doing. And obviously, it also makes sense that they have some expertise in the field of usability to see, oh, that is probably an issue or that is no issue. You need either running software or at least a prototype you want to evaluate, obviously. And it needs some kind of finishment to do it. And yeah, as I said, you start doing it individually as a single, and then you either later on you actually combine it. And you write down the findings you have and also try to rank them by severity, like is this a smaller issue or is it a bigger issue? So some examples, I just picked one and we'll dive into these more in detail in the workshop later on. Shameless advertisement here. Is the visibility of the system status, for example, like can the user always see what the current state of the software is? Do they have to wait or is the task completed, stuff like that. Up to like help and documentation, is the help available in the context I'm in, stuff like that. So this would be an example of 10 heuristics you could use to go through an interface, through an application, and see, well, where might be issues, where might be problems that we're not fulfilling these. OK, as I said, how to do it? You first choose a set of heuristics. Could be the ones by Nielsen, could be other ones, there are other ones as well. Then you do an individual walk through either interface by interface or heuristic by heuristic. Write down the issues you find, assign a severity ranking. Often you do it in three steps, like from minor, middle, or major issue. Maybe you have already ideas how to solve it, then obviously write it down as well. And in the end, the 3 to 5 experts come together and they consolidate and do it together to then come to an agreement, because different people, different eyes see different things, and that's then how you run it. What to watch out for? Select a focus. If you want to start like a huge software project and evaluate everything, you will sit there for hours and hours. As I said earlier, you need a knowledge of the domain and also of the heuristics, usability, or like humans behave and human perception, stuff like that. If you don't have that, it's difficult as well, and obviously practice helps there. And also there can be an issue to only rely on heuristic evaluations. I mean, there are other methods like the usability test, that is a good addition to it. So, a usability test, how does this work? Again, also needs a norm group, as I was on their webpage, I just copied a paragraph from them as well there. In a usability test, they say, in a usability testing session, a researcher, called facilitator or moderator, asks participants to perform activities or tasks, usually using one or more specific user interfaces of your software. And while the participant completes each task, the researcher observes the participants, and there could be also other observers doing that, and observes the behavior and listens to feedback. That's basically how to do it. Usability test is also often called user test. If you search on the net for more research, user test is another synonym. And you have basically two variants you can do, more qualitative approach or more quantitative approach. What do we need here? We need, again, a moderator. And it's cool if you have a second person as an observer, so you don't need to multitask. You need a running software prototype again, obviously. But we also have the field of unmoderated usability test. They have some advantages, more flexibility, but also some disadvantages. It's hard to ask follow-up questions if you are not there, obviously. So how to run a usability test in person? You prepare a test script to give you some guideline what to do, and an observer sheet. You recruit participants. And here again, think of the first slides ahead, like what is your user group, yeah? Is it okay to run to the city and just grab like 10 people from the street? Or do I need to go, I don't know, in a hospital because I need doctors or whatever? So think about if they're realistic users. Then you facilitate the test by moderating it, and you normally have pre-test questions asking like the user if they have experience with the software, stuff like that. Then you do the task to the user. You often just call them activities, so it's not so intimidating. And then post-test questions, like a survey, for example, or like how they like the interface in general. You observe, you listen, you write notes. It's not so much about talking by yourself. And what you can ask a user, if you do a more qualitative approach, you ask them to think aloud so that they verbalize their thoughts. For example, I'm currently looking for a button saying submit, but there is none. Oh, there's a button enter. I'm not sure if that is the right one. I will click it. And then you, as an observer, get the understanding, okay, maybe we should think the label to change it, for example. So thinking aloud is something that helps there. Also, then asking follow-up questions if something is unclear to you. And in the end, you analyze the findings, either qualitative or quantitatively. And as I said, like for the post-test questionnaire, the system usability scale is, for example, one server you can use, or the Net Promoter Score, or other stuff you want to have there. If you'd want to do it remote, you need some video conferencing software, offering screen sharing, also recording then makes it easier. Maybe also sharing the camera so that you see facial expressions at least helps as well. If you want to do it unmoderatedly, there are online tools. I did a quick research, and still I didn't find any that is open source. But you can try to do it like do it yourself. Ask a user to just like record their screen and their webcam and talk out loudly what they do. But obviously, this needs some competences on the user side then as well to make such setup. So what to measure? Here again, the definition of usability, just to keep it in mind. We talked about effectiveness, efficiency, and satisfaction. So effectiveness, as I said, can I reach the goal? Like, was the task completed? Was help needed to overcome any errors, did errors happen, stuff like that. Efficiency, often like how much time is spent, how long does it take to fulfill a task, could also be like how many layers did the user need to build up an image or stuff like that, how many functions, numbers of clicks, an easy one. And then the satisfaction, as I said, emotions, feelings, just observe them and ask in a follow-up survey then. Potential pitfalls there. If you do a quantitative test and you really want to measure, like you want to measure the time, for example, you cannot use think aloud method because then people obviously slow down, the timings are off. So you have to think about, do I want to go more the qualitative approach to get understanding or more the quantitative approach to measure, really. No neutral facilitation, another thing often happens in my professional context, I often take sales with me to get an open door from customer, and then obviously sales sitting next to me wants to sell something. I mean, that's their goal, but it's not my goal. So think about if you moderate such tests, how to bear some neutrality, not sell anything, not explain anything, not helping too much. This is something you have to look out for. If a user doesn't fit the target group, obviously the results are not really transferable. And if you only do quantitative tests, you do have some hard numbers in the end, but you don't know why you have these numbers. So I suggest there to start with qualitative testing and then maybe later on come to some quantitative testing in the end to enrich the understanding with numbers. So some pros and cons in both methods, what we have. Heuristic evaluation is often cheaper and faster because you can do it by yourself as an expert. You don't need to invite users. You don't have the hassle of setting everything up for users. So that is often quicker to do. And also, if you have to compensate users, it's cheaper. But if you do a heuristic evaluation, it's you as an expert judging, evaluating, and believing there is an error or there's no issue. The real truth, if there's something like the real truth, if there is a mistake for the user, obviously can only be found out by the user. So you do need users, you need a usability test to find definite problems. Also, only usability testing can measure satisfaction by asking the user and ask them to rate it. You need expertise, as I said, and the different expertise for different methods here. About usability, about like humans work, about facilitating. If you facilitate a moderated test, it's good to have some knowledge about how to do that and how to stay neutral. And as I said, about the domain, specifically if you want to evaluate an interface yourself as an expert. Yeah, both methods can be combined. That's a normal approach you often take. You start with an evaluation, heuristic evaluation as an expert, and you think about, okay, where are probably difficult situations? What might be difficult issues here on the interface? And then you go on a user test and verify it and see if that is really an issue and how big the issue is and how users can cope with it. As I said, start early with it. That is very good. You can use both very early also on prototypes. And one thing, it's not about like individual opinions, in neither of these methods. It's about the heuristics, which I've proven that they're important, or about if the user can complete the task or cannot complete the task. I mean, you can ask them for the opinion, but it's really not about the opinions. It's really about testing the interface. And that's also very important, testing the interface, even if it's called user test. Verify to the users that we're not testing them, but that we're testing the interface. That's very important in moderation. So to conclude, we have the specific user, specific goal, and specific context, and the definition of usability. Think about these, and about the extent of how effective, efficient, and satisfying it is. Both evaluation methods can be used. They're both very effective and efficient to uncover usability issues, to find problems to improve on, and there are many normally. So pick the major ones to start. To improve on it. As a heuristic evaluation, as I said, there are experts who use the usability principles to judge a user interface. As the usability test, it's the moderator who observes and who then use the users to ask users to conduct the tasks, the activities, to get the observation there. As I said, you can combine these, and well, if you start early, that's best to have most benefit of it. And that's all from my side. There are some resources I used, and just you can dive deeper into if you want. So with this, thank you for your listening to me, for your attention. As I said earlier, there are two workshops, one on usability evaluation today and the other one about usability testing tomorrow. And I think we have like roughly 4 minutes for some questions, if there are any.
There's a question.
And I want to ask, like, for the heuristics, and because there are a lot of different kinds of software, and I wonder if there are like someone that aggregated the heuristics of different kinds of like software, like graphic software or online software.
Yeah, that's a very good question. So there are different heuristics for different domains. It indeed makes sense sometimes to use a heuristic specified to your domain to have rules of thumb in there that only specify or only work for your domain. The ones by Nielsen Norm that I picked, they are very generic. They work for basically everything. So it's never false to use these, I'd say. In the workshop later, I will also show you two other ones that are very common. And you will see there's quite a big overlap. So, yeah. But indeed, there are some domain specific. There was one question over there and one over there.
Which one was?
That you don't have to run so much. Let's start over there.
Thank you. I'd like to ask if in the workshop, are you going to show how to turn the qualitative feedback into action items for a roadmap in the product?
Not so much. We'll more really, in the workshop, run a heuristic evaluation by ourselves to see like how to apply the heuristics, how to judge them, and see how that works. And we'll discuss the findings we find, but we will not do the next step to see like how to design it. But we can talk about Levy offsite. And there was another question, I think.
So you said that there is not an open source tool for doing remote usability testing. Can you say more about, I mean, there's pieces for the things that you mentioned as features. Can you say more about what is needed and if that's hopeless or you hack something together and it's doable?
Yeah. We have to differentiate between like a remote user test that is moderated, and I think this you can do with open source software because basically you need like screen sharing, camera, and stuff like that, and then maybe some online form to ask, for example, the system usability scale to get some feedback on it. For the unmoderated, that's more difficult because then you want to include like the pre-test questions and the post-questionnaire all in one tool for the user. So the user normally gets on the website and then is asked some questions like, for example, what's your age, what's your gender, how much experience do you have? And then you go to the task, and you have to then record automatically, normally, like time spent on task, stuff like that, mistakes that happen, deviations from the optimal path, things like that. And in the end, you do the service. And there, so far, I know there is none that is open source. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, we do have many developers here, so maybe next year that will change. Please.
Yeah, so maybe to complement the first question, I wanted to learn about UX, but most resources that I found online are very focused on like websites and small web mobile applications.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you had like some resources for more like desktop, big tools, complex software.
Yeah, good question. Yeah, I mean, UX is kind of a hype, or was kind of a hype, and so lots of it's about websites and apps. I think the methods, and generally, you can apply them also on other parts. So I'm, for example, working in the machine business, so doing packaging machines, nothing with like websites. And this is still the same methods we use. So you can transfer these methods. And then obviously, if it's more about the design and how to design a good interface, then it's more specific to these domains. There are some, I think, from the Munich University, some online courses you can look up, slides that are very good. And there are also professional courses you can take, part-time or whatever. From, I think, Berlin. A Berlin-based university has a spin-off there. Yeah.
A short, irritating question for you. Earlier on in your slide deck, you mentioned the need to sort of profile users. You mentioned a grandmother, a PhD student, an expert, and a novice. I am hoping that you are coding the grandmother as the expert. Is that correct?
Well, that depends on the domain. That depends on the context of use. For some, it might be the expert, especially if they use something that is very often. But for others, it might not. So this is why I wanted to show the range of how diverse it is, and think of the diversity. I mean, if you look around here, the age range is kind of, you know, my grandmother wouldn't be in here. I mean, she's dead. yeah, I'm sorry, too young. Also, we have no small children in here. Yeah, and we have a gender bias here. So we have also, I think, a literacy bias here. Not everybody is a PhD student. Not everybody has studied even. For the machines we build, we have lots of users, for example, coming from Mexico directly to the US, standing on a machine there, not being able to talk or speak English, and they should use an interface. I know stories in India where the users had sticks with marks in it, and so when the machine showed a mistake, an error message, they used a stick, put it on the screen, and saw, okay, if the error message goes up to the third mark, then I need to do this. Because they couldn't read the interface. So this is something I just wanted to make you aware of. Think about who is your user. Time is up. I'm not sure. Very small. OK.
Yeah, just a small comment here. You also got the French guy, Sebastian Scapa, who have some more fundamental 8 criteria, which is more suitable for normal software than websites.
Thanks. Thanks for the addition. OK, then we are off into lunch break. Thank you so much for this morning. And see you later.